Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Monday. We're at Circa Sports in Kentucky at the Mint at Kentucky Downs. And as always on Mondays at this time, we say hello to John McClain down in Houston who joins us. And, John, I just got word from both the Tennessee and Texas Department of Corrections that they used the Titans-Texans game yesterday as punishment for their inmates. So they piped that in to all the prisons in Tennessee and Texas.
Well, I would have had a hard time piping it in when every other city didn't carry it, right? Only Nashville carried it. Any other state carry it?
No.
No, Houston. I mean,
they
Houston.
Were treated to a nail biter.
It was riveting. But it was the Texans were able to pull it out to get to 500. And now at 5-5, so they're still a chance, I guess, so to speak. But the Titans fall to 1-9, and it was just a tough one to watch.
Oh, it was a tough one to watch. What about that exhilarating first half? 3-0.
Oh.
Well, that was exciting. And the thing that one drive that the Titans had at the end of the game, 11 plays, 95 yards. That was kind of titillating, showing you what Cam Ward would be capable of. You know, several times he had drop passes, and those pre-snap penalties were ridiculous. I know somebody said something about the cadence.
Yeah.
That it was Ward. Well, that's why you have practice. It's ridiculous. Latham jumping off three times at home. And but the fact is, as I say, you got to get that first pick. And they took another step for that first pick because right now Fernando Mendoza is separating himself long time to go in the scouting process. But you want a team, especially a team like, say, Cleveland. Cleveland needs a quarterback. Cleveland doesn't have a quarterback. Cleveland has two first-round picks. You know, and you'd have a chance to get two first-round picks and more. Anyway, with all that money to spend in free agency, a new head coach, new guys on both sides of the ball, Ward going into his second season. Next season is when fans should get fired up.
Do you think there's going to be a sense with Titans fans that they're going to view what New England did this year? And who knows what that story is going to be when it's finished, but they spent a lot of money in free agency. They've built through the draft. They have the quarterback. They went and got the head coach. I feel like the Titans are a long way off from being able to pull that off. But I think people are going to look to New England as, oh, well, if they can do it, then my team can too.
I remember after the 1998 season, the Rams were 4-12. Dick Vermeil was the head coach, and everybody said he's over the hill. And then when he lost his starting quarterback, Trent Green, in preseason, everybody wrote it off, said, well, they'll compete for the first pick and hopefully be able to get a new quarterback since Trent Green's done. And then Kurt Warner stepped in. They won a Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen to the Patriots. The Patriots, to me, are a year ahead of what everybody else thought. And so much of what's happened is there is you guys saw it when they – as an example, when the Titans went to the championship game after they upset the Ravens and Derrick Henry went crazy, you know, Vrabel stepped into a great situation. The coach here is stepping into a situation where they'll have so much money to spend, but you got to spend it correctly. And you got to have the head coach and the GM on the same page. And that is the key. You've got our the right guy, and then you got a draft. Is there a chance there that they could make a big improvement? Yeah, sure. Now, who does AFC South play next year? I haven't even paid any attention.
That's a good question.
Which NFC division they play? The Patriots play an incredibly easy schedule. Yes, they went to Buffalo and they won. That's impressive. Yes, they won in Tampa. Now Tampa's lost two in a row. But I think every bad team that has a quarterback is going to use the Patriots as an example. But, you know, Mike has done a great job, and culture is attitude, establishing a good attitude. They've been very fortunate that Stephon Diggs goes up there. Texans didn't want him back, and he played, I think he missed the last eight games with a torn ACL. Then he went to New England. I'm thinking, okay, based on when he got hurt, he'll be ready probably a quarter into the season, may have to wait till midway point, and he's been there from the get-go, and he's been outstanding. Just an example of personnel decisions that have to be made correctly. So Titans got a long way to go to be able to do that, but it's possible to rebuild quickly if you've got the right coach and if you have the right quarterback.
The NFC East, to answer your question.
Well, right now, Cowboys are nothing special. Giants are nothing special. Washington's nothing special. Too bad couldn't have played the East this year. And, of course, the Eagles are the Eagles. So it's not like they're playing the NFC West like this season.
Absolutely. John McClain's with us on the Chase and Big Joe. So, John, we throw all these names out there. Is there one name that you like for this Titans job? Because we talk about Art Smith, Matt Nagy. You know, I'm a big fan of Robert Saleh. Is there one name that you think could come here and really have a positive impact on this franchise?
I think they need an offensive coach who an offensive coach who is a proven play caller, if he's going to call the plays, and he probably would. And if he's been a head coach, that'd be great, no matter what level. And I would look to see people who came from Green Bay and at Kansas City. And both those organizations do a tremendous job. You know, all these reports about Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
That Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst have 1 year left on their contract, and they have not been extended by head policy, the new president of the Packers. Now, there's no way he's going to let them get away, but it's going to be constant speculation. You know, what if the Packers end up not making the playoffs? What if Matt LaFleur is tired of being up there? So, say Matt got fired. Matt, if he's fired in the morning, would have a job by lunch. If he's fired in the afternoon, he'd have a job by dinner. All of a sudden, he'd be Andy Reid. And so you don't know. But to me, Joe, it's got to be a guy with an offensive background who has a history of coaching quarterbacks. And because Cam Ward development, as you know, is imperative.
Oh, absolutely, with all that. We're talking to John McClain here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. So, John, you look at yesterday, the Titans fall to 1-9. You know, we're insulated here in the bubble. We know it's not a bad look and everything. When you look at it from your view down in Houston at this franchise, I mean, is it as bad as it seems for us here in Nashville? I mean, what's the reaction do you have when you look at this football team from where you are?
Well, it's bad right now, and for the reasons we just mentioned, if they get that top pick, and maybe they get the second pick, and there's another quarterback that steps up between now and the draft, and that's going to happen because still so many teams are desperate for quarterbacks, but you want one that has two number one picks to be desperate, like the Browns. And having all that money, the problem is people aren't sure of the setup. And I tell them, well, Boghossian's the GM. And from what I've heard over there from people I know, they've been very impressed with Boghossian, the way he's gone about his business. Now, Chad Brinker, will he be somebody who listens to Boghossian and says, okay, you want to hire Arthur Smith? I might like, you mentioned Matt Nagy. Well, I think Matt Nagy would be good, but you're the GM. You know, if that's who you want to hire, we'll take it to Amy and she'll sign off on it. And but you just don't know the dynamic. But based on what I've heard, I would trust Mike Boghossian to do the right thing. And with the potential draft capital, the money to spend this year and next year, Patriots still got a lot of money to spend. They'll probably be a Super Bowl favorite next year, unless everybody makes the Chiefs a favorite again. And as I've told you before, because of everything there, you don't need a stadium, you don't need a facility, you know, you don't need anything but to perform on the field, and they haven't done that, and that's why they're in a desperate situation.
He is John McClain. We'll have more with him coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Monday, continuing our conversation with John McClain. And, John, a riveting matchup tonight on Monday Night Football as the 3-5-1 Cowboys head to Vegas to take on the 2-7 Raiders. What a matchup.
It is a matchup that I promise you I will not be watching. The only reason I watch the Cowboys is to see if the Cowboys lose. And the Raiders are in a similar situation. You know, they're Geno Smith has been a big disappointment. Chip Kelly has been a big disappointment. They're paying him $6 million a year to be the offensive coordinator. Texans sniffed around him a little bit. Boy, once they found out that price, they had no interest. He's cashing in on that national championship at Ohio State. And it looks like he and Pete Carroll kind of have a difference in philosophy. I know they struggle to use Ashton Jeddy the way they want to because they'd like to have some leads and run him a lot, but they don't have any leads. And I'd love to see the Raiders beat the Cowboys because it kind of be the ultimate indignity considering how pathetic they are.
Do you think that Brian Schottenheimer, this could be a one and done, or is Jerry going to be patient and know that he's still got work to do on the defensive side of the ball? I know they made some trades at the deadline and give him another year.
Jerry Jones has never been quick on the trigger. He keeps his coaches too long. Jason Garrett being a great example. Chan Gailey, another one. Dave Campo. Even Wade Phillips. He fired Wade during the season, and Wade had gone to the playoffs and won a playoff game. So, no, I think Jerry kind of feels like he discovered a nugget because he was drilling where nobody else was, and he wants to give him every opportunity to do well so Jerry can beat on his chest and say, aha, nobody else was interested in him but me. I know what I'm doing.
John McClain's on the Chasing Big Joe show. John, I really, really like watching the Carolina Panthers. I think Bryce Young has turned into a nice quarterback. Dave Canales is doing great. You look at that team at the beginning of the season, you know, Canales was on the hot seat and they're not going anywhere. But now they're 6-5, and he's got them to believe in. And that's just a fun football team to watch. Had a big win yesterday versus the Falcons. Your thoughts on the Panthers and the patience they've shown?
Bryce Young had 3 touchdown passes, I think like 450 yards. And they're on national TV in this next week. And all you're like thinking, oh, my God, why would you want the Panthers? Panthers have a winning record. It might actually be a good game. And Canales has quietly done a good job, just to echo what you said, Joe, very quietly. There's no controversy out of there. David Tepper, the owner, as I'm not saying he's a model owner, but after the way he started, it's like he's been locked in a closet and they threw away the key. You don't hear anything about him. And Canales, you know, Mike Vrabel is going to run away with Coach of the Year. Yep. Second will probably be Shane Steichen. But I tell you what, Dave Canales ought to be third.
John, yesterday Shedeur Sanders got in the game. And according to Athlon Sports, minimum 15 attempts. He had the 4th worst quarterback debut of all time, going 4-16. I don't blame that on him because he was thrust in the game and all that stuff that went on. But, I mean, do we see him starting on – I know Stefanski said we're going to go back to Dylan Gabriel if he's out of concussion protocol. But from all accounts, people that were there said when he came in the game, the stadium – they have not heard Cleveland Stadium that loud since 1999. I mean, there's a lot of drama here with this. Where do you think this goes forward, John?
I don't think this had anything to do with Shedeur Sanders and everything to do with how absolutely pathetic the Browns are in their quarterback situation is. They've got 2 number one picks. They want to move up and get a quarterback. They may be in a position to get him with where they're picking. And Shedeur was awful. But everybody says, well, he didn't get to practice with the first team. Well, a lot of backups come in a situation that don't look as bad as he did. Now they won't have any excuses. There's so many people who are dying for Shedeur Sanders to be good. a lot of broadcasters can't wait for him to do something good because they go, aha, that's why he should have been a first pick. No way he ever should have been picked behind Dillon Gabriel. But there's a reason that he's not playing. Do the Browns actually think, with Stefanski's job on the line, that Stefanski would not play the quarterback that he believes gives them the best chance of winning? There's a reason Gabriel was picked in the third round and Shedeur Sanders wasn't. It'd be a great story if he plays well. No third-round quarterback's ever gotten the attention that he has.
Absolutely. By the way, the worst debut ever, Mike Maturek, in 1984 for the Detroit Lions, was 6 of 21, 3 interceptions, and a 1.6 quarterback rating back in the day.
Wow.
Yep. All right.
John McClain is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. When you look at the NFC, how much of a believer are you in the Rams?
I am. That's my team now. I was Detroit Buffalo before the season. Detroit's like a seesaw up and down. And although they were the victim of a terrible pass interference call last night, not that they would have won the game anyway, I always agree with Bill Belichick, always. Every year he went to the NFL spring meetings and he said, make every play reviewable, but it will not make the game longer because coaches don't have any more challenges.
Right.
And that way coaches would save a challenge for fourth quarter or late in the game, and I think pass interference should be reviewable. But anyway, the Rams, the MVP is going to be Matthew Stafford, not Drake May, even though the media up in Boston is doing everything they can to help May get the MVP. Rams play in a much tougher division, and Stafford has been magnificent. Now, he may have to go to Philadelphia. Philadelphia's already beaten them. May have to go back there for a playoff game like last year when they were in the snow and the cold, and they almost beat the Eagles. But right now, the NFC, my pick is the Rams over the Eagles because of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I would agree with that right now. What's crazy is when you look at the AFC and the division leaders, I don't think anybody had any of these teams, New England, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Denver, as being the division leaders at this point in the season. The West, we all thought the Chiefs, they may not even make the playoffs right now. The Colts have been, the I think, a big shocker in the league. You know, the North is pretty jumbled up, and then the Patriots, as you said earlier, are maybe a year ahead of where we all thought. But that's what's kind of made this year fun in the NFL, in my opinion.
I can't remember how many years it is that there's been a worst to first. Would that be the Bears? The Bears' schedule is about to get a whole lot tougher.
Yeah.
And when I look at the AFC, I'm still sticking with Buffalo. You know, they benched their number two receiver because he didn't show up at a meeting, and they only scored 44 points. And Josh Allen, 3-6 touchdowns. Second time in his career it's happened. Only 3 times in history has that happened. The Texans' next 3 games, I'll be better educated to answer the question you just asked me, Chase, because you said these teams in first place. The Texans play the Bills here. Then they go to Indy. Then they go to Kansas City. And the Colts, when I look at teams I think got the best chance for the Super Bowl, I'm looking for the quarterback who's playing the best, who's healthy, who has a reasonable number of weapons around him who are healthy. That's why I would not pick Daniel Jones over Josh Allen when it comes to that January. I wouldn't pick Drake May over Josh Allen. I wouldn't pick anybody in the NFC over Matthew Stafford. You know, the Eagles keep doing it with defense. They're smart. They're defending champion, but their offense looks more like the toilet bowl than the Super Bowl. And that's why, like, do any of us actually believe Pittsburgh is going to win that division over Baltimore? I don't think so. Ravens are on a roll. They didn't play well yesterday. They usually don't play well offensively against Cleveland, but they still won. They're going to win that division, and nobody's going to want to play them in the playoffs. Just like if the Chiefs sneak in as a wild card team and you have to host them, nobody's going to want to play them. And it's too bad about Denver. The defense is so great. They keep winning all these close games in the fourth quarter, but their offense overall has been a disappointment.
Yeah, John, I was going to bring that up. They have won. Broncos have won 6 one-score games. They've only lost 2. They've won their last game, the last 5 games by 12 points. I mean, they're playing with fire, but here's the thing. They're winning, right?
Last year, Joe, the Chiefs were 11-0 in those one-score games. They were winning in ways you're like, oh, my God, that kick was blocked. They win. It should have been an easy field goal, and more power to them for doing that, but you know, they were not able to win the Super Bowl. And I just don't think at this point, if you're struggling on offense, all of a sudden the light's going to go off and your offense is going to make dramatic improvements. Defense wins championships, but boy, you got to get to the championship to win it before you can say that. And right now they do not have a championship offense.
John, appreciate it as always. We will talk to you next week.
Guys, my pleasure. Thank you very much, and I always appreciate it.
Yep, absolutely. John McClain joining us down in Houston. He does so every Monday at 2 o'clock. We'll react to some of those things and look at the NFL and the Titans as a whole. Coming up next, live from Circus Sports in Kentucky, Chase and Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game.